and welcome to the 77th episode of the Not Your Mama's Gamer podcast, a podcast where we talk about games and gaming from a feminist perspective. My name is Samantha Blackman, and I'm an associate professor here at Purdue University in wonderful West Lafayette, Indiana, where I talk about, read about, dream about, amongst other things, video games, video games, video games. I see you lip syncing me, Alex Lane. So I'm joined tonight by the usual kind of bountiful bevy of I can think of a B word that wasn't offensive to save my life.
Talked yourself into a hole, Sam.
Smart people who are going to chat with us tonight. And so I'll let them run do quick intros of themselves. And we'll start with our guest tonight, Deidre Kiai, right?
Yeah.
You see, I got that right. Yes. Yeah. All right. Have at it, please.
Hello. I am probably best known as the creator of the stop motion musical extravaganza, Dominique Pomplemousse, and It's All Over Once the Fat Lady Sings. So I make games. I'm currently a grad student at UC Santa Cruz, and
Yay! Alright, and we'll go with the second newest person in the room. Equally new person, Wendy. Hello, hi. Wendy.
Hi. I am Wendy Sierra. I am an assistant professor in English and Digital Cultures and Technologies at St. John Fisher College in Rochester, New York. I study game design and critical making. And I pretend like I know what critical making is.
That's the best part about those things, though, is that no one really knows.
It's kind of fun when you get to grab onto some of those new words, like hacktivism. Oh, yeah.
Hacktivism is the new thing.
Oh, yeah.
Totally. Like 6 years ago, but for other fields. But for us,
awesome. Alex Lane, how about you go next?
That's Dr. Alex Lane. Since the last time we met, I've officially defended my dissertation. Woo! Soon to be an assistant professor at Metro State in Minnesota. Woo! I won't do that every time, but I was really, really excited. So let's see. I study gender issues in the video game industry, specifically looking at corporate documents and sexual harassment policies and things like that. So,
woo! Woo!
You can't see me, but I'm doing the wave.
Yes.
And since you're waving, how about you go next?
We'll wait till Sam has some more Cosmo, but yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm Sarah. I am a undergraduate student at Purdue University studying creative writing and professional writing. About to graduate next week. I am looking for a job, so hire me.
Deirdre.
Tomorrow is my birthday, so.
Oh, happy early.
Yeah, happy birthday.
Thank you.
I would hire you if I had any money.
Well, thank you.
I would be looking for work myself, like, in about a year or so. So, there we have it.
I feel you then.
All right, well, I am Charlotte Hyde. I'm a doctoral candidate at Purdue University. I study organizational communication, and I have decided this week that I'm a Lego scholar. I'm no longer a Lego enthusiast. I'm a Lego scholar.
So. I like your confidence that you were able to make that step. You've always been a Lego scholar at heart, you know.
Yes.
Do you study critical gender theory in Legos then? Lego
I do. I do. I even taught it this semester. That was interesting.
So I have a question for you then. Why in the Lego games do all the women all the guys when they stand up, their legs are like this? But all the women have one leg back like that when they stand still. That just seems...
It's a 1930s kissing pose.
Yeah exactly. you gotta be sexy.
But it's not 1930, and they're not kissing anybody, and I don't get it. So what the hell?
Maybe they're like flamingos or something. I don't know.
They're always working on their balance, so they're like more ninja-esque or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. My Lego, female Lego astronaut wears makeup, and I don't know why anybody would wear makeup in space.
So. Mm-hmm.
I don't know the answer to your question.
That angers me.
Yeah.
Well, I look forward to reading your dissertation then.
Well, it won't be about Legos. It's about depressing NASA communication. So.
Boo.
Yeah. But it's fun stuff.
It is. I just realized this week, though, that my archive that I'm using that I thought had 1,000 memos in it has 10,000 memos in it.
Oh, my God.
So. I'm sorry. That wasn't funny.
It's only funny because you're not her chair.
Yeah. Right. He doesn't know that yet. He might now if he's listening.
Supplies.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Anyway.
Alrighty then. You'll figure it out, I'm sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I have confidence in you.
This just makes me never want to do graduate school.
Oh, God.
It's not okay. So bad.
No, not at all.
When you're done, it's not so bad.
It's a really high survival rate.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I'm going to put this drink down. So we're going to start with our usual, what you're playing, what you're reading, what you're drinking.
Mm-hmm.
And we will try to show some kind of manners and allow our guest to go first. So, Deirdre, would you like to tell us, what have you been playing lately?
Well, I just downloaded the latest episode of Kentucky Route Zero, so that is what I am about to play real soon, once I get a little bit of breathing time to actually, you know, play a game. And most recently, I played a few interactive fiction games for the XYZZY Awards, Horse Master and Ultra Business Tycoon and Coloratura and Solarium were the titles that I played, and they were fun, very interesting, very provocative and insightful. Sometimes like short text-based games are all I have time for these days. As for what I've been reading, a whole lot of software studies, a whole lot of art-related works, lots of things I'm reading for grad school to get into my head, also like some Disney-related works I have to brush up on for my TA-ship. And the internet, of course, always reading the internet. I don't know what's going on in the world. And as for what I'm drinking, I most recently consumed coffee. I'm not drinking anything at the moment, but when I do, I tend to favor things with caffeine in them and a good ginger beer. Yeah,
I love ginger beer. That's my new thing I just discovered.
Ginger beer?
I mean, I realize it's not recently discovered. I just discovered it recently for myself. Yeah. But it is delicious. With whiskey. But yes.
With whiskey. More gingery than ginger ale, and like I like my ginger.
I actually went to when I was visiting Minnesota, I went to like the biggest liquor store in Minnesota trying to find ginger beer because I thought it was like actual like, beer.
Yes. That sounds like you, Alex. It's like, it's got to have alcohol in it if everybody likes it.
If I like it.
Well, Alex, since you're talking, what you playing?
Besides Dominique Pomplemousse, let's see here. I forgot, so let me get my list. Oh, you know what I just finished today and yesterday? Since I passed my dissertation, for those of you who don't know, I haven't left the house, so I've been playing plenty of things. So I finally bought, because it was on like 70% off Steam sale last weekend, I think, The Legend of Dead Kale and Teeth of Naros, and that's expansion packs for Kingdoms of Amalur. I always say it wrong. Amalur. Mm-hmm. Whatever. So anyway, when that game came out, like I loved it. Remember it came out at the same time as, what was that game that you liked, Sam?
Came out at the same time as Skyrim.
as Skyrim, right? So, which I didn't dig Skyrim as much as some people in this chat.
Didn't it came out after Skyrim?
No, it came out right about the same time, I think.
Yeah, Skyrim was fall. I thought Kingdoms was spring.
Well, I have to Google it to remember.
Go ahead, keep talking. I'll do it.
All right. Well, regardless, I remember every single person I know was playing Skyrim, and I was playing Kingdoms of Amalur, and I loved that game and was obsessed with it, and finally got the DLC, which I finished the Teeth of Narus, which was really fun, and I'm partway through Dead Kale. And, I mean, especially, they're a little expensive, because it's not a ton of content, especially because at that point in the game, like, my character at least is so OP, like, it's just stupid, like, I do my one move and it kills every enemy within like 100 yards of me. So it like I go through it like super fast.
Mm-hmm.
But it has been really fun and it's like a good extension of the game and the stories are pretty good. So and different from the stuff that's been in the game. So I really like that. Did you have an answer for us?
Yes. Ding 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 ding. Sarah. Wendy wins because. Skyrim came out in November and Amalur came out in February.
Yep.
February. Well, so 3 months.
Like playing it
Skyrim
over break.
Was 11/11/11.
Yep, I remember that.
Yeah. ESO was 4/4/14. I'm hoping this means that Fallout 4 will be like 5/5/15, but
ooh.
Cross my fingers. It's not even gonna happen.
I've also been playing the things I've been playing for a few podcast episodes now. Hearthstone, of course, mm-hmm. and Zoo Tycoon. Shut up, I like that game.
Mm-hmm.
I also started playing Farmville 2 because Sam kept sending me invites.
You're a liar.
What? What? Oh, God, that's been dog smart. And the one of my runner-up indie game of the week, because, of course, my indie game of the week is going to be Dominique Pompamoose, but Millie is the other game I've been playing. So it's another indie game, which I'll talk about later. And pass that off to someone else.
Who else would like to go?
I'll go. I've obviously been playing Dominique Pompamoose, but I wanted a new game, so I went. I've never played Zelda, and I didn't know if I would like it.
What?
Right, never played it. So I got it, and it turns out I like it maybe too much. it keeps telling me that I've been playing for too long, and I should take
it. Oh, yeah. You're playing on the DS.
Very judgmental.
But, yeah, I know, but the 3DS is way too judgmental.
It is. I'm like, leave me alone.
I do what I want.
I've been like, grading show.
It's like, no gay marriage. It's a social statement thing blowing up on the internet lately.
Yeah. Tamagotchi Life.
That's actually one of my news items, so we will.
We will rant about that too.
Spoiler.
So yeah. I've also played Luigi's Mansion a little more. I am happy to report I did not play any Rayman Legends again. So we are breaking the addiction, I think.
We'll get you a coin or something.
Well, it probably won't last too long. I mean, I read an article today about the new Vita and made me all.
You should Google, I can't remember what the name of the game is, but it's a Skrillex Zelda mashup. Have you guys seen that?
Oh, yeah.
It sounds weird, but it's actually very cool. The sort of frame for the story is that a piece of dust gets on an old Zelda cartridge and starts like destroying everything, and it's all breaking down, which obviously fits really well with Skrillex music. It's really interesting, and you can play it in like 15 minutes.
Fun.
Nice. Speaking of Zelda, I got a present last weekend from a friend of mine who went to C2E2, and it's a emptied out, hollow, like enclosed Zelda cartridge that says Legend of Drink on it, and it's a flask. You can like unscrew the top, and it turns into a flask.
I feel like my eyes just got real big, like a kid at Christmas. Like, oh.
If I have to run to the bathroom or something later, I'll go grab it from the kitchen. And
that's what they should give away as the loot crate in the loot crate. Then.
Ooh,
except for they send those to children.
Did you put milk in it?
They can keep other things in it. Yeah.
God damn.
No one says it has to be used for alcohol.
Inappropriate.
All right, fine. Wendy, what you playing?
Well, I'd like to say that I was playing something evocative and insightful and profound, like Dominique, but I've been playing a lot of Borderlands 2, which has some really cool writing, but it's a really great, I'm done with the semester, and now I'd like to make things die.
I like you a lot, Wendy.
Yes, I'm on a quarter system. I'm not done till June.
Oh. Here's to Deirdre then, because.
I just heard my husband was telling me that they're calling the Borderlands style games. I've been calling them like shooter RPGs. Mm-hmm. That's kind of how they feel to me, but he said that I guess the term that's floating around now is loot shooter, which sounds like a terrible name.
Yeah, it does.
Not a fan at all. But so that, I've been playing that.
That sounds very. I don't know. It sounds very sexual on top of everything else.
It's like a porn game, let's be honest.
Sure. I was trying to be nice.
That's what like, everyone thought. Come on.
We have company, Alex. I try to be nice when we have company.
Porn. It doesn't change the fact that that's what it sounds like. Sorry. I'm sorry, company.
I don't know.
Like porn. And then I've also been playing a lot of TCGs because I'm working on putting together a card game for Seize the Day. So I went back and, like, pulled out the magic. Actually, it's funny you mentioned Hearthstone because I was playing the WoW TCG. Mm-hmm. Which
are you playing Hearthstone?
I'm not. Farming it all out to my husband, who's, like, getting the mounts for everyone in my family that plays WoW and then moving on to the next person's BattleNet account to get the mount for them. Yeah, so that's what I've been doing. And I'm drinking a Petit Noir, which is from a winery only like 5 miles from my house.
Nice.
That's dangerous.
It's also that sounds dangerous.
That's, yeah, dangerous.
Awesome.
Well, I guess it's my turn. Did everybody else go?
No, I haven't gone.
Well, you go.
Okay.
What are you playing?
I have been playing, let's see, I was playing Child of Light, which is amazing, by the way, so definitely recommend. Bravely Default, I started. I haven't gotten that far in yet.
Ugh.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot that you still are not into it.
JRPG.
She's a not when the girls are 14, but okay.
Well, but does it ever actually say they're 14?
In the Japanese version.
Only in the Japanese version.
And then they just changed it to 18, but they're, like, super sexualized.
Yes.
No, that's cool. I won't judge your game.
You're illegal.
Thank you.
Judgy McJurgensen.
Remember, Alex, you can like things and still be critical of them at the same time.
Yeah, except that every other day, Sam says, I can't believe you're playing that game. That's disgusting. It's this, it's that. So I get to judge the shit out of her game.
I'm not Judgy McJurgensen, thank you very much.
Oh, look, I see it. I'm sorry, Sarah, I didn't mean to hijack your...
It's okay. I'm kind of behind in, like, game-wise, so I just recently picked up The Walking Dead Season 1, and I'm playing that so far. And I enjoy that. And
that was the better of the two seasons so far, anyway.
Yeah, is it? Okay.
I keep forgetting to play it. Like, I bought it, and I forget to play it.
Well, that's because the second season doesn't grasp you the way the first season does. I had the same problem. I only remembered that I had it and that I was supposed to play it when I went to play the next episode of Wolf Among Us.
Yeah, I was looking at deals earlier, and it was a deal, and I was like, oh, yeah.
They're doing a Borderlands collaboration that should be out this summer.
Yeah. They're also doing a Game of Thrones, too. Telltale.
I heard that.
Oh, yeah. Fun fact, I interned at Telltale in 2006.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh, nice. That's awesome.
I worked on a CSI game there.
A CSI game?
Yeah, it was fun times.
Was that the one with the dead woman in the hot tub? I'm trying to remember which one came out about that time.
That one. I think it was a different one.
Okay, I was trying to remember which one came out about that time.
It had Burning Man on it, in it.
Hmm.
Yeah. Mm. In fact, it wasn't called Burning Man, I don't think, but yeah.
I'm going to check that out. I like me some CSI.
Yeah.
What else playing, Sarah?
Well, of course, like everyone else, Dominique Pamplemousse. Right? I was never sure if I was pronouncing it right. And then
I have that in common.
She clarifies it in like the first 5 seconds of the game.
And like over and over and over.
Pamplemousse.
Well, at least I'm not pronouncing it as bad as the people in the game.
Pumpernickel.
I like Pimplehead myself, that was my favorite. But other than that, just various party games, like Mario Party and stuff, which is pretty much a constant, because whenever I have people over, they always want to play, we want to play, and then it turns into a big deal, so.
Cool.
Yay.
Now it's your turn, Sam.
Now it's my turn. Yay! What am I playing? Okay, so I'm still playing Disney Magical World, right? Which is still, I say, a kid's RPG trainer.
Is it actually worth the money? Because that was what I saw in GameStop. I was like, that's kind of cute, but then, like, well, it doesn't really seem like there's that much to do. So I was like,
well, there's lots to do. There is got RPG, you got fetch quests, you got escort quests, you got all the same kinds of quests. You get to kill things, but they're ghosts, so you don't get to kill people.
Okay.
you say that like it's a downside, but
that's just a deal breaker right there.
You
I want to
kill things,
people.
But they're already dead.
That doesn't even count, right? Can't re-kill them.
You can't re-kill them.
No.
But it's kind of an interesting, you will like it because you like Animal Crossing so much. You will like Disney Magical World. If you like Disney characters, I was interested to play it, one, to see how they kind of, you know, play at the Disney storylines, as well as my series need to build and destroy.
So what are the escort mission, like, taking somebody to a certain ride in Disney World or something?
No. It doesn't happen in Disney World. It kind of happens on Disney's Main Street, and these portals open into different worlds. Like, you know, one will open into Alice's Tea Party. One will open into a Aladdin kind of quest where you'll actually go into Agbar. One will open into a 100-acre woods area where you do farming and things like that. So there are different kinds of activities that you do in each space that opens. So, like I said, it's pretty interesting. I bought it originally because I thought it would be good for P to play, but because they say basic reading skills are necessary.
Yeah.
But way more than basic reading skills are necessary. What they're calling basic is not basic. I guess they mean basic for an adult. But since P's only 5, there's no way. This is something that she and I can play lap co-op, but she can play it on her own because there's not enough voice acting in it to accommodate for kind of all of the text.
Okay.
So. Hmm. But we play it lap co-op, and she likes it. And she likes to kill things, too, so, you know. I'm training her well.
That's important.
So I'm playing that still. And like everyone else, Dominique Pamplemousse, we're going to talk about that. Which, you know, made me happy for a number of different reasons. Farmville 2, So apparently I can just annoy Alex Lane. And I didn't invite you. Obviously the game is inviting you over and over again.
I never said I was annoyed. I was saying I started playing it because invites about stuff from you kept popping up.
Well,
I'm certainly not annoyed.
I think I've gotten invites for you for certain things. I can't. I don't think it's Farmville, but it's for something. I can't remember what, but I know
I've
seen
it. That's what it is. These games are inviting people.
They send out invites like all the time without your knowledge. And this one, I think I set up so people don't see it. But
I didn't even click. It asked you to send invites, and I completely unclicked it. And the only ones that I sent invites to were people who were actually playing. But I wasn't sending invites to them. I was just sending them.
Yeah, but my list of people who were actually playing weren't actually playing. Like, there's people on there who
aren't actually playing. I unclicked all those. Only clicked.
Well, you can go. There's the list of people who are already playing Farmville 2, and they're not.
Right here on my Facebook feed, it says, Alex Lane invited you to play Farmville 2 yesterday at 10:21 in the morning.
Yeah, I did. I think I might have sent it to Charlotte, too.
I have it all blocked. You can send me whatever you want.
I thought you might want to play for the podcast.
I don't want to play Farmville.
Also, Sarah, it has your name on there as someone who is playing Farmville, by the way.
Oh, well, I'm not.
I sent the invite.
It lies.
Uh-huh. So Farmville 2. Because, you know, in case people don't know this about Alex Lane, so she's playing Farmville 2. By next week, she's going to have created all of these intricate theory crafting spreadsheets about how she most efficiently, and you can't lie, Alex Lane, and say you don't do this.
I like to maximize my profits, okay? So you do like a spreadsheet, like what it costs to make a tomato, and then what it costs to make tomato sauce, and then for like each thing, like how much it costs to sell it. So you can do, because like a lot of times it seems like making the apple pie is going to get you the most money because it gets you 300 coins. But like if you just sold the apples and the flour and the butter, you would make more. So you wouldn't know that if it wasn't for the theory crafting.
That is some hardcore Facebook gaming.
Yeah.
Well, I don't see anything wrong with that. I make no apologies.
Oh, gosh. Okay, so what else am I playing? I'm going to get to this last thing last. I played the Conception 2 demo, right?
Oh,
because
my gosh.
I had a couple of people in my office, right, because we were talking about Conception 2. Has anybody else seen this game other than Sarah?
Yeah.
No, but I'm curious about it now.
It's ridiculous.
So it's called Conception 2, Child of the Seven Stars, and just the way, I gotta find this because it is absolutely insane. The way that they describe the game, when we looked it up, we were like, okay, let's go look at this game. Because, you know, Sarah and I both have this love of JRPGs. So when we saw that this one was coming out, she was in my office, and we decided to look it up to see if it was something we wanted to play. And so basically, well, I can't find it. What it talks about is that the male character in this game is the gift from God, and that's actually what they call him.
He's like a savior.
He's called the gift from God because
I don't love your JRPGs.
Because he has an abundance. He has an abundance of essence, right?
Is this satire? I don't know.
No, it's totally serious. Totally serious.
Okay, so run with this for a second. He has an abundance of essence. And what he does with this essence.
Please tell us what he does with it.
He bestows it upon a loot shooter, right? He bestows it upon the female characters who are fighting alongside of them. Yes,
so they put the essence on them.
And they produce.
Are you making this up?
No, I'm totally serious.
I'm totally serious. Do you want me to read the summary?
Did you? Oh God, please.
So he gives his female disciples this essence to make star children who will fight in combat for them.
Yes.
Like literally children who in the demo call him like daddy. and like call them mommies and stuff.
Wow.
That's gross.
They're created via a process called class mating.
Class mating, yes.
Which involves
them
and the female student touching each other and then forming a star child via a special matryoshka doll.
Mm-hmm. Also, they're naked when that happens. But they're they're like Sailor Moon transformation, so they're like all their bodies all one color, but they are naked.
I'm having Viva Pinata flashbacks.
Look, you and your pinata sex nightmares have to go away.
I will never get over that, okay? That
was a little traumatizing. I'm gonna...
Thank you.
It was...
You know, this is where we're gonna lock you and Alice Lane in a room together.
The thing about Conception 2 is that, like, it's not even fun. I played the demo, and it just wasn't even fun. Like, the combat was not fun at all. And, like, even, like, they give you an option.
Spreading your essence wasn't fun?
They give you an option in the combat to, like, literally have it do all of the work for you. Like, it just, there's a setting where they will just fight and you don't have to do anything at all. And it's just like, so what's the point? Like,
it's so that you can classmate, Sarah. Damn it, haven't you figured that out yet? You gotta bestow your essence.
You're playing this wrong. I'm gonna get this game. I'll show you guys.
It looks like Game Informer gave it a 6 out of 10. That's like, shocking. That translates into a real world 0, right?
You know what, though? Honestly, like, this sounds like every JRPG you've ever tried to describe to me. So.
It does not.
It is not. So cruel.
All right. Okay, we're gonna move on. See, because you guys are being horrible tonight. I'm gonna blame it on the heat and the alcohol. And so the other game that I've been playing that I was really waiting for, because I was, you know, it had a female protagonist who was strong, who was going out to adventure. I was really hoping to share this game with my kid, who likes warrior princesses and wants to go around, because she says every princess needs both a wand and a sword as she goes around and tries to kill everything in the house.
That's adorable. Well,
I bet this has a happy ending. Please continue.
You shut up, Alex. You are really having kids. So I downloaded the game. And I had downloaded it at home, didn't get a chance to play it, went to campus, and was in the lab with these jerks, and was playing the game. So we start to play the game. 30 seconds in, the kid fucking dies.
Yeah, she does.
What is it with dead kids?
No.
It's called the child of light.
What do you mean? But she, but I have, I mean, I'm not done, but I have a feeling she's, the whole thing is she's coming back.
Okay, but you know how I am about dead kid games, Sarah. I wanted to throw the fucking controller through the TV. I was so pissed off.
She
was like,
super
really?
Pissed. I even brought sushi lunch and you were still pissed.
Dead kid games. What is it with dead kid games? It's like every game just purposely, this year has purposely tried, in the last year, has tried to traumatize me. Charlotte totally set me up with Last of Us and didn't tell me. She's
well,
like,
I didn't tell you.
Ready.
I mean, you were just... You were just like an hour ago bitching about spoilers. And now you want to blame me for not telling you about The Last of Us.
And then there was Rain, where all the kids died of the plague and were running from death monsters. And, I mean, what is it with dead kids? Dead kids are like the new loot shooter, I guess. I don't know.
Well, you could think of her not as dead, but as sleeping.
She's dead. It says dead.
You just lie to yourself.
It says dead, not sleeping.
I didn't even really understand, like, how she died. Was it, like, she, like, froze? Was it, like, the fire went... I thought it was, like, her fire went out, and... I don't know.
Well, she got really cold, apparently. The fire, the fire went out below her, so she froze to death.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, dead kids. So I'm really pissed at myself now.
It's a great game, though. Like,
so you can have a female protagonist as long as she's dead.
A strong female protagonist as long as she's dead. She can be a female protagonist if she's, like, hypersexualized and things like that.
Well, she's just a kid, though.
Yeah. Yeah, so are the... I'll be... Never mind. We'll go on.
She's cute. She gave...
But that doesn't stop you if you're playing Bravely Default if you're... Is that right? I knew you were going to say it, Alex. I said it for you.
You got it.
All right. So anyway, that's all I'm going to say about Child of Light right now, because we're running way over.
Yeah, we're way over.
And so that's what we've been playing.
Can we skip reading? I'm guessing no one's reading anything.
10,000 emails
from
Deirdre. 10,000 memos. And Deirdre already told us what she's reading. She's reading. We're going to skip reading this week. Sorry, Wendy. We're going to do this on the first week you're here. But we ran way over talking about playing. And this is the good part. We'll make it easy. What you drinking? Wendy, what are you drinking? Oh, you told us what you're drinking.
Oh,
what are you drinking?
But she didn't tell us while we were on broadcast, I don't think.
Oh, did she not?
Yes, she did.
I think she did.
Okay.
Yes, she did.
I take a bet.
Alex, what you drinking?
I'm drinking red wine out of an actual bottle today, so what? I'm very fancy.
Out of a bottle.
It's new for me. It's a big bottle, but...
Are you drinking it straight from the bottle, or does it go through the cup first?
No, I got the glass here.
Okay.
Usually
you said from a bottle, so I was like, you're drinking it.
No, I meant like it was poured to me in a bottle instead of a box.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Charlotte, what you drinking?
Wine and sparkling water.
Yeah. Wine and sparkling water. Red wine or white wine, darling?
White Zinfandel.
Nice.
My favorite.
Sarah, what you drinking?
I have Kool-Aid.
Right.
Okay. Somebody hang up on her.
It's the blue one. I'm not sure what the flavor is.
Do you ever just get the sugar from it? Because I did that all the time.
No.
Like, put a spoon and put it in the sugar and then just did that.
Oh, no, my gosh, Alex.
it's the exact same thing as a Fun Dip.
Well, That's exactly what I was saying.
Why didn't you just buy the Fun Dips then?
I bought plenty of Fun Dips. But they were different flavors.
Oh my gosh.
Okay, so anyway, because the other game that I have been playing in the last 2 days was a fabulous game, a side-scrolling platformer called Catch the Puke.
Yeah.
And So today, after I took my kid to the doctor and got all properly medicated, when I went to the big box store to pick up her prescriptions, I also picked up this wonderful item right here.
Wow.
This is classy.
In case you can't see this, it's classy. It's in a bag.
Yes.
It's the Malibu cocktail. It's like a super-sized Capri Sun of a Caribbean Cosmo. So it's coconut rum, lime, orange, and cranberry juices in a big ass bag. See, and I'm what I'm most this is what is really classy about it.
Yes,
it's got a spigot.
It does. It still looks pretty full though.
Well, you know, okay, I'm already because also I had not eaten since yesterday.
Oh God.
So are you drinking it from the spigot or?
That is
see, that's a whole nother level of classy. I've got my. They talked about me so bad, I gave up on the red solo cups and got the clear ones.
Clear ones, yes.
So it wasn't as cold as I would like, so I needed ice. So I did this, and so I'm drinking slowly because the only thing that I ate was also the. Blue corn chips and cheese sauce that was in the aisle over from the pharmacy. I was like, I need to eat something because I haven't eaten anything. And so that's been my diet for the last 2 days as I played the fabulous side-scrolling game of Catch the Puke. But luckily, my child is now puke-free and sleeping.
Yay!
Yay! Yeah, so let's hope she stays that way. Parenthood is grand, I'm telling you. I'm so glad I have, like, the most awesome kid in the universe.
She's awesome.
She is awesome, isn't she?
Yeah.
All right.
The same mentality, I feel like.
That's what scares me. All right. So I think we covered everybody with the drinking, including Sarah's blue Kool-Aid. So... Sarah, you want to run through the news pretty quickly?
Yes, I will try and go quick. Pokemon, they're doing a remake for Ruby and Sapphire that they announced today for Pokemon. So Pokemon Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire, which I don't know how they came up with those names, but whatever, Pokemon does its own thing. But those were announced for November, which is funny because I was just talking to another person like last week about how he really wanted a remake of Ruby and Sapphire, and then they just go and announce it this week. So I hope he's happy then.
They heard his request.
Yeah, apparently. I know that a lot of you play Don't Starve, and so it was announced that there will be a multiplayer Don't Starve called Don't Starve Together coming this summer.
For this.
So you can play together.
I'm going to hoard the crap out of food better than other people. It'll be amazing.
And not read the quest text.
There's no quest text in that game. You survive by the heart, okay?
As we get closer to E3, there are rumors coming out. Recently, there was a rumor that Sony's E3 lineup has been leaked, which includes an Uncharted game for next summer, God of War 4, a new Wipeout, Sony London is going to be there for the first time in a long time. There's Sony Japan Studios is debuting 2, maybe 3 titles. One is the rumored Project Beast, which is supposed to be a spiritual successor to Demon's Souls. And the other is The Last Guardian, which they are redoing for PS4. And then another, as of yet unknown, title. A lot of interesting things along those lines. And I always get really excited by rumors about E3, so I, like, stalk them now. and finally, my last news item, which I am going to have discussed in my post for tomorrow, so be on the lookout for that, is that in Nintendo's new game, Tomodachi Life, Nintendo has declined to include same-sex relationships and marriages. They said, quote, I guess it's Nintendo America's, like, PR. They said, quote, Nintendo never intended to make any form of social commentary with the launch of Tomodachi Life. The relationship options in the game represent a playful alternate world rather than a real-life situation. We hope that all of our fans will see that Tomodachi Life was intended to be a whimsical and quirky game, and that we were absolutely not trying to provide social commentary. So apparently same-sex relationships are not...
not American life.
Not, I don't know, quirky enough.
Quirky, fun, alternate.
Yeah. I don't know, the heteropatriarchy is pretty quirky.
And very fun for everybody.
And binary, for that matter.
Oh my god.
That is the worst defense of anything I have ever heard. What?
I know.
Yeah. It doesn't fucking sucks, man.
Yeah, they do.
I'm so pissed about that. See, now I'm not buying their fucking game. And I was, you know how I get, okay? See, this is, okay.
Do we know how you get as in, like, you buy every game that comes out ever?
No, I do not. There are certain things, Missy, fuck you. There are certain things that, you know, get my goat and I don't run with, which is why you give me shit, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there are certain things that I refuse, and then there are things that, yes, I buy, and then I, like, refuse to play because they offend me so much. But, yeah, this one, yeah, I'm not going to even buy their game. That's just stupid.
Me neither.
I'm pissed about that.
That's absolutely some bullshit. Pissed.
They may not miss my $40 or $50, but you know what? I'll know I didn't give it to them.
Yep.
That's not that you agree with every social commentary the games that you play do make. I mean, we all played the recent Tomb Raider, you know. Well, maybe not we all, but many of us did. So yeah. You don't necessarily have to agree with everything, but this is pretty stupid. Right?
So. And it's, you know, it's like, we're not trying to make any kind of, we're not trying to kind of engage in any social commentary, but you're engaging in the fucking social commentary by even saying, I decline to engage in it. Yeah. Because then you're saying it's not important enough to deal with. It's, you know, and saying it's a part of quirky American life. But that's to say that, you know what, we're not a part of quirky American life. Exactly. Fuck you, I'm quirky and American.
It's just weird. Like, it's just, I don't, I guess, like, they want an alternate world rather than a real life simulation, and
so you can't, because like gay marriage is like too real.
It's
like,
true, yes.
It's so fucking weird. So I'm out with you, Sam. Solidarity.
All right. So that's our news.
Yes. Oh, am I up next? I'm sorry.
Yeah, Missy, you are.
I like that I get Missy tonight. You have never called me that in the 5 years that we have known each other. I must be particularly sassy.
I didn't think that that was said in like a good way, though.
No.
No.
But anyway, it's Doctor. So.
Doctor Missy.
Doctor Missy. Missy. Yeah.
I feel like you're just trying to clean up what you normally call me for our guests tonight. So, when I'm being sassy. And I bought you sushi this week, okay?
I love you.
Well, thank you. Oh, yay, heart. Okay, so Indie Game of the Week, of course, is Dominique Pompamous. But we're going to talk so much about that game within the next few minutes, I promise, that I decided to do a runner-up, rather, Indie Game of the Week, which is a pretty obscure one called Millie. Has anybody played it or heard of it?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, good. Okay, so who here had a Nokia at some point in their lives? Like one of the first versions?
Me.
What was the best thing about the Nokia?
The worm game.
So the worm game, right? The worm game was amazing.
Was that the right answer?
That was the exact answer I was looking for. So the best thing, and we didn't practice that, I promise. So the best thing about the old Nokia phone was like the snake game where you like go around and eat the apple, and each time you eat the apple, you get longer.
Mm-hmm.
Well, basically, Millie is a platformer puzzle, but it's basically like 2014's version of Snake. Is what it is, and it has like really adorable graphics. In fact, the graphics are reminiscent of Tiny Bang Story. Remember?
Yes.
The graphics are very reminiscent of that to me. And when they did the first like cutscenes, I was like, "Oh my god!" But it's that plus Pac-Man. If it's shaping up to sound awesome, it should, because it's like that plus Pac-Man. So you're the centipede or millipede rather, Millie. And your dream is to become an astronaut. Okay, which I haven't played the whole thing, so I don't know how that fits in yet.
It says it says aviator.
Nice.
Oh, yeah, that's what I meant. A pilot. Yeah, yeah. Sorry. So
she's got the little pilot helmet, I imagine.
She's got the pilot helmet, right. Yeah. So you go around the board, and you eat these little pellets, and collect sneakers. And each time you eat so many pellets, you get longer. So as the game progresses on, I've done a handful of levels, as the game progresses on, you'll find that there's, like, only one possible way, you know, like in Snake, you just went until you died, but, like, to complete the level, there's, like, really only one possible way that you can snake yourself through in order to, like, pass it. So you play the same level, you know, 6 to 10 times. Like, the first time you play it, you're like, this is stupid, this is gonna be so easy, but it gets very difficult, and there's lots of obstacles and the right paths to take. And it's super cute and super fun. It's by Forever Games. I think right now it's like $4 or something stupid like that. So I would say if you liked Snake, if you like that type of sort of puzzle game that you can just play like one level and like zone out and play it and without having to like put 10 hours into gameplay, then this is definitely a good game for you. It's it's very addicting. It's super simplistic, and the story is non-existent. They never tell you why you're collecting sneakers or eating pellets. It makes no sense. But there like wasn't a big story behind like Pac-Man or Snake either. Like millipedes got to eat their pellets. I don't know. That's how they work, and they wear sneakers. It's super cute.
The aviation thing is it's random, but like that's cute.
It's super cute, and the only thing they do with it is within the first few minutes of the game, they have, like, a couple adorable cutscenes. They haven't done anything, and as far as I've played, they haven't done anything else with it, but But it's very, very enjoyable. So.
What's the platform?
It was, I got it through Steam. It's Mac, I think it might be Mac. No, it's Mac or PC.
They say that it's available on iOS and phones and stuff too, I think.
It would actually be a much better iOS game, I think. So.
Ooh, I might check it out on iOS.
You should.
I think it says it's only 99 cents for that, so.
There you go. But there were other iterations of the game before the Steam one that came out, so that you could be buying an old one. So if it's not freaking adorable, it could be an old one. So.
She's like, if it's not super adorable, it's not my fault. You bought the wrong one.
Yeah, you bought the wrong one.
Well,
it would be good on iOS, though. I don't know. It's not even my type of game particularly, but it was fun.
Cool.
Awesome. Yeah. All right. And now since Deidre's been sitting here for like the last hour going, what the fuck am I doing here? All these women just rant.
We usually don't rant that long.
It's the end of the semester and we've all been drinking. Except for Sarah, who's Kool-Aid. And,
high-end chemicals, maybe.
Yeah. So, this week we've come together to talk with Deidre Kiai about her awesome game. Dominique Pamplemousse.
Their awesome game. Sam.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm correcting your pronoun usage. Oh.
Please do. We practiced it ahead of time.
Got me. And I did. I practiced it, and I like tried to drill it into their head, and I screwed up. I'm going to blame on the alcohol and my stupidity. So, Charlotte, go ahead and tell us a bit about Deidre.
They is a writer, programmer, musician, and visual artist who creates video game-like artifacts about gender identity, social awkwardness, and miscellaneous silliness. They are currently completing an MFA in Digital Arts and New Media at UC Santa Cruz.
That's awesome.
Yes, it is.
Very impressive.
Yes.
So we had kind of put together a list of questions that we wanted to ask you about the game. And so Charlotte brought this game to our attention, Deidre, yeah. And said, okay, so we have to play this game, one, because occasionally we all play a game together and talk about it, and if we can, we get the designer on to talk to us about the game. So she said, this is one we have to play. And I looked at it, and I looked at, like, the demo, the video on Steam, and I was like, okay, that is so quirky and funny that I was, like, totally and completely on board with it.
Nice.
Because I think I am still the oldest one on the podcast, and
barely.
I'm a huge point and click adventure game fan. So when I saw that it was point and click, I was like, okay, I am all over this. It's like that's all you have to tell me. I'm into this. I want to do this. And I had a couple questions. One of the questions that I had is kind of beyond. The obvious answer in terms of point and click, and maybe that's just the answer. Why point and click adventure for Dominique Pamplemousse instead of like a more current contemporary kind of adventure game?
Well, point and click is simple. And accessible. You just pretty much point and click. Mm-hmm. This way I could make the game cross-platform and work on Windows and Mac and also iPad. So the iPad version, you basically just point and tap. So it required like a lot less redesigning of controls and UI and just was, and it's like just really easy and straightforward. You interact with it just like you would with any other computer application you play, and this made it very accessible to non-gamers, I think.
Well, and maybe I can tie off of that and ask you a question. It seems to me that point and click has had a kind of a resurgence recently, that a whole lot of indie games that are point and click are coming out. I don't know if you've noticed that as well, or if you have any thoughts on that, Deidre.
I definitely noticed. Like, I've been making point and click games for like over 10 years now, and I was making them at a time when they were kind of out of fashion, and like direct control and keyboards and joysticks were the thing. And then like to see point and click coming back, especially with the like mobile and tablet devices being so big, and I mean, even before that, casual gaming too. It was just kind of nice, like, oh, hey, cool, the rest of the industry has caught up to me. That's fantastic.
Yeah, I think that you're right. There has been this resurgence. I mean, we've seen it with Double Fine. We've seen it with, like, the Telltale games on the iOS devices, right, is that, you know, they've been more accessible to folks because of the fact that they're more point and tap or drag and tap. And that really makes me happy because, like I said, I'm old school LucasArts point and click adventure game, like, addict. Grim Fandango is still, like, my favorite game of all time. And
I wish you had a point and click interface, though. That would have been a good game.
Oh, my gosh. I'm waiting for Telltale to redo it.
Yeah.
Double Fine has one that just came out today, right?
Which one?
Double Fine had a game. I can't remember what
their new Hack and Slash came out, yeah.
Yeah, Hack and Slash. Yeah, anyway, that's off track.
Yep.
Also point and click.
Also point and click.
Well, I can jump in with one of my questions, because I had a question about genre, kind of, as well. If that's okay with everybody.
Yeah, go ahead.
Sure.
All right.
Not that you ever wait for permission.
Well, like, furthermore, no one's ever been silent after I said something, so I'm like, oh, God, what have I done? Okay, so I was reading through the reviews of Dominate Pomplemousse, and it was called, it seemed like every single person who reviewed it called it a different type of game. Like, we're talking about it as a point-and-click adventure now. I read Claymation Noir, stop motion musical detective adventure. Basically, what it came down to for me is it seems like you kind of made a new genre. So I wanted to know what that was like, because you don't know this, Sam, yet, but since I went to your class on Monday, I have been making my own game, my own card game now. Yeah. And it is hard not to just jack things from everybody else, but like you came up with something new, which is so weird, especially in academia, like so new. I don't know. So I want to know like what the process was with that and how that happened and how cool you feel. That's what I want to know.
Well, I think all new genres are kind of like a weird combination of a whole bunch of stuff. Like, I decided to do a musical game. I mean, I've always loved musicals, period, but the idea to do a musical game came from a scene in The Curse of Monkey Island. Which the LucasArts fans of you in the audience might remember. There was that A Pirate I Was Meant to Be scene that was basically an interactive song. Mm-hmm. And like ever since I played that in 1997 or whenever that was, I was like, wouldn't it be cool to have like an entire game that was a musical? And so, like, I kept that idea in my head for a long, long time and then finally made it happen. Meanwhile, I've always really enjoyed stop motion as an art form. I played The Neverhood when I was a kid, and I really liked that game. I'm not so much a fan of the creator's conservative politics.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a really beautiful game. And then I kind of put a whole, like, a really low-budget spin on all of this. And I was inspired by watching, like, a really low-budget musical on Netflix called Colma the Musical. And it was very low budget, but it was like it was really beautiful and it made me cry. So I was like, all right, if like there can be low budget movie musicals, then I can totally make a low budget game musical. And so I did.
That's so cool. And we were talking a little earlier and we're joking about this, is I skip quest text. Like, I can't, like, especially with the voiceover is going, like, I click as fast as I can, and I just, like, that's my compulsion as a gamer. Like, I just want to do the game. One of the things I loved about, and I feel like what made your game so enjoyable, is that the musical parts, like, my gamer get to the end and beat it, had to just chill out and experience the game, which is so unfamiliar to me. I think that's one of the reasons your game, like, sat so differently with me, was because I had to add, like, I even played games with sound off most of the time, much to everybody's chagrin, I know. But, like,
she's horrible. She's horrible to play MMORPGs with, I'm telling you.
We don't anymore, basically. But I think that's why, like, your game was, for me, like, so, like, touching, because I actually, like, got to experience some of that stuff. So, you said something about interaction, so it made me think of that, but.
Yeah, well, my reasoning for that was kind of like it was a technical reason. Like, if I allowed skipping during the musical parts, it would have totally messed up the timing, and I didn't want to deal with that.
That's the whole game. I mean, that's the game. That's the experience,
yeah,
anyway.
It's totally the whole experience. And also, like, sometimes it bugs me in voiceovers when people recite their lines very slowly. And I really want that to happen, so I did my best to do all my voiceovers at kind of a normal speaking speed, and even, like, speeding things up whenever necessary.
Well, so even some of, like, the shorter songs go really quickly. You have, like, the two different, or maybe there's more than two, I'm not very musical, but there seems to be two different paces. One is kind of, like, the normal speed song, and then one's, like, a one.
I did speed up one song, like, kind of at in one of my very early prototypes, because, like, I had friends play through it and be like, oh no, this is too slow, I'm getting bored, and I'm like, all right, well, I gotta increase the timing of that, and then so I did, and then I got way fewer complaints.
There you go.
Did you do all the singing then?
I did all the singing and all the funny voices.
That was my question. You stole my question.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry.
Read the list there.
That's okay. I stole your blogs.
Sam, maybe your question next? I don't know.
Okay.
I'm looking at the list here.
Well, then
we have a bunch of GDC questions, but.
Yeah, that's my question. Right, because. And my question is, and as I've said, it's probably kind of the most obvious question about Dominique Pamplemousse, is kind of what was the inspiration for it? And you kind of touched upon it, but why make it a musical? Other than your love for musicals. What made you think that would be kind of the best way to reach your audience?
Yeah. We have been, as you know, going through a recession.
Yes.
And kind of during times of recession, during times of economic difficulty, like, especially for people my age in our 20s or so, like, there's kind of been this this tradition in the past, especially, like, Hollywood theater, that sort of thing, like, to create, to create musicals in times of hardship, mm-hmm. so that here's a fun diversion so you can kind of distract yourselves from toils and troubles and annoyances of everyday life, mm-hmm. And things like I talk a lot about oppression in this work, and so part of that is kind of like also like having some fun and being silly while at the same time dealing with these heavy topics.
Mm-hmm.
My game has been compared a lot to like Brechtian theater, like Weimar Germany era.
Mm-hmm.
Stuff, which was also like created 1920s, 1930s, very like So there's this, so there's kind of a parallel to that time as well. Mm-hmm. Like, parallels to the Great Depression and, like, the 1920s, 1930s, to what is happening to us right now.
Awesome.
So that's one form. That's some inspiration.
Mm-hmm. We were actually talking about who had picked what ending in the chat, and I said that I the job ending just to kind of, I was just trying to see what, you know, how, where it would go. But then I understood, like, when she's like, oh, well, at least I have, you know, a salary and, like, benefits. It was like, very realistic. I felt, like, very relatable to, like, well, you know, you kind of have to do what you have to do in certain instances. Although, obviously, it's an extreme, but same sort of message.
Yeah, and it's like taking these very relatable struggles to mm-hmm. an extreme, and just kind of being really silly, being like making it a caricature of sorts, you know, like a broad sketch, cartoon version of itself.
Yeah. Awesome. My question actually is kind of somewhat related to that, so I guess I'll jump in. So I really enjoyed how you included NPC, basically every NPC character trying to gender Dominique in certain ways, specifically how they interpreted the character physically. And I felt like that was very very real experiences for someone who is non-binary gendered or something like that might go through. So I was wondering if you incorporated any of your own personal experiences into at least this aspect of the game script.
Oh, definitely. It's very personal. But it's also like an exaggerated form of the personal. Like, a lot of people don't just like come right up to me and ask questions. Like, sometimes only little kids do that, really, in practice. They're the only ones who kind of brave enough to go right out and say what all the adults are thinking.
Exactly. As a parent of a 5-year-old, I get that, right? Are you a boy or are you a girl?
No.
I went through period era. Period. I went through in the game. I went through.
Yeah. I went through puberty.
Puberty 10 years ago. Yeah, I'm neither. Right. Period.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's really like, so it's a very intentionally childlike way of bringing up the subject. Like in musicals, you have a lot of like people just outright saying what they're feeling or like having a soliloquy while the other characters are right there. So things are a lot more blunt than they actually, like, are in my personal experience. Mm-hmm. But the feelings come from a very authentic place, and my perceptions of how I'm treated as an non-binary person are definitely come through there.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And they came through well, I have to say that. Mm-hmm. As I was playing it through the game, that was one of the things that kind of struck me, right? It was like, I was like, oh yeah, I know what's coming next. Here comes the question, right? And then the reply about I've gone through puberty, so I'm neither, actually had me laughing out loud.
Me too. Yeah.
And I was like, perfect answer. Why have I never thought of that as an answer for anyone? Which is,
yeah.
Well, I really liked too, I saw on your Twitter that someone had said that you handled the gender stuff, like, really heavy-handedly or something, and that, like, made you laugh hysterically. And I sort of thought that, too. It was, like, the opposite of heavy-handed. It was just, like, chill out. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, and it was there, but it wasn't, like, the theme or anything. So it was just kind of there. I don't know. I wouldn't say it was heavy-handed at all, especially since a lot of the times Dominique didn't even really get, like, the whole chance to kind of correct them, because they're always...
Right.
Hello, sir.
Yeah.
If your norms are being challenged, it feels heavy-handed.
Yeah, definitely. Like, if you were, like, touching on or writing about any, like, hot button issue like gender, it's like, it's like very hard to hit that balance between like too blunt and too subtle. Mm-hmm. And I think I hit on a pretty good balance. Some people did think it was too blunt and some people did think it was too subtle. But I mean, like, I'm getting better and better at hitting a certain middle ground that'll like, that will resonate with more people, more of my audience, I think.
I definitely agree. Should we move to GDC questions, huh?
Yeah, let's do that.
First, Charlotte, can I ask you a personal question first, sort of?
Sure.
You have a million pictures with like T-shirts and such with the gaming feminist Illuminati. What is that? Yeah. I want to know what that is.
Oh, I don't know if I can tell you.
She was like, I have to tell you, but I have to kill you.
It's a very shadowy organization.
With their own T-shirts, of course, but.
Yeah. Well, that was a T-shirt design made by I think it was Elizabeth Simmons. But then it kind of like spread like a meme throughout like. Everybody in games who, like, is a feminist of some kind. And so there was this, like, T-shirt sale. Everyone went and bought a T-shirt and then took selfies in it. And kind of glorious and awesome.
I thought it might be, like, a group or, like, a thing. Like, and I looked it up, but I couldn't find anything except more pictures and selfies.
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah, exactly.
Like, they want it to be a secret, Alex, clearly.
I know.
It's a secretive organization like any other Illuminati organization. Yeah.
Well, I want to be in it.
You're not in it.
The handshake.
Yeah. You can be in it if you want to be. We don't have very strict admissions criteria.
Yeah. You did everybody else in. But I can't tell you about it now, so.
Mm-hmm. It's probably a less. It's probably easier to get into than grad school.
Well, easier to get out of too.
I don't know.
Oh,
I don't know that yet.
Like,
I'm a feminist. It's kind of hard, like, not to be one anymore.
I know. Yeah. I'm just thinking about my 10,000 memos. Anyway.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry. GDC questions. I really wanted you to invite me.
You just
me want to
be in the Illuminati. That's what you want.
Really,
the feminist Illuminati.
Yeah.
They're going to come to your house tonight with hoods and bats.
I don't make it.
To induct you into. Or daggers, not bats.
Right.
Yeah. All right. I'm sorry. GDC questions. Sarah, not Sarah. Charlotte, you want to start?
Yeah, I was really interested in your game before GDC happened, which I just want to say because I'm all into, like, artistic black and white stuff. But
that was a very hipster comment. I just have to say, I was into it before GDC.
I'll tell you,
black and white thing, and I was like, no, she really, since the day I've met her, that's the game she loves the most.
I don't know,
you were playing Limbo, I remember.
Yeah, well, Limbo, right, so. It was already on my list, and then I saw the GDC stuff happen, and I was like, oh, that's that game. I have to get that game. So I just wanted to kind of, I worded it better on my little question, I think. But I'm interested in the number one reason to be talk, and was wondering if you could talk about that.
Yeah, the number one reason to be talk. So yeah, GDC was like almost 2 months ago, and I still don't think I've recovered from it yet. It was super overwhelming. Enormous games conference. Mm-hmm. Everybody from like everywhere in the world that makes games shows up and takes over San Francisco. And so yeah, the one reason to be talk was the history of that was the one reason why hashtag on Twitter about women coming out of the woodwork and talking about like reasons why there aren't more women in the game industry, because some dude on Twitter asked that question. So when you ask a question, you'll get a lot of answers. So Brenda Romero and Leah Alexander turned it into a regular GDC talk, and this year they invited me to be on it. And I was like, well, sure, I can come and provide the much-needed non-binary perspective on, like, on this thing that was originally just about women. And, like, my personal experiences have a lot in common with women's experiences in the game industry, but there are also some differences, too, like the fact that most people don't even think I exist. So there was that. I went on stage. I yelled an awful lot. I hope I yelled eloquently. It seems like I did. I think a lot of people really resonated. I made a lot of people cry, and I'm really sorry about that. I don't know. I kind of cried, too, at the end. It was very emotional. I was letting out a lot of, like, pent-up, frustrations and things I've never really been able to say out loud or articulate until now, just about like my experience making games and working in the game industry for a time and not feeling like I had a place, feeling I had to like push myself in to find a place, like just push and shove and create my own space and work from the margins and finally, like, get recognized out of the margins. One funny thing is that sometimes people think that Dominique Pamplemousse is my first game. It's not. I've made, over 11 or 12 games on my own before this and even have worked like professionally in the industry on a whole bunch of games too. So I've been at this a long time for like my entire adult life but it's kind of been like, yeah, my experiences are invisible. The experiences of people like me are invisible, but like people are now starting to find a voice, and that's awesome. I'm really excited about that. I'm really excited about, there is no specific indie scene anymore. There's a lot of, like, people coming out and making games, which I'm really excited about, and I'm thrilled to be part of that movement. Even though I've been making games for a while, it's like, it's also taken me a while to find my own voice, and I've been really inspired by people making these really personal games in tools like Twine and others. Mm-hmm. So it's really been like great to see this growing community and to be a part of it.
On the topic of your GDC talk, what was it that made people, you said that you're on your speaker comments that you made a lot of people uncomfortable or some people uncomfortable. What was it, just talking about these invisible experiences that made them so uncomfortable?
Well, it was the yelling mostly. some people like hand waved that saying, oh, it was just a mic issue, don't worry about it. But it's like kind of when you read between the lines, it's like, people don't like it when folks raise their voices, especially like a non-male sounding voice. That really, like, it doesn't sit well with people. I mean, like, Manveer Error did a talk where he yelled a whole bunch too, and everyone loved it. But, somehow, like, since I'm not a dude, my voice gave people migraines, apparently.
Nice.
But yeah, being able, but like sometimes, like when you're reading between the lines, like people complaining about these really trivial things, like microphone volume. Right. It's like kind of like they're complaining about that because they don't know how to express. They don't know how to express like their discomfort with these like kind of new ideas I'm putting forth that no one's really seen before. Like, most people think there are only two genders and can't really conceive of there being more than two genders. I don't know. That changed, like different, like learning something different. That's hard stuff. Like that's hard stuff to be exposed to for the first time. Our initial reactions are usually resistance. It's like, wow, my whole worldview is being shaken. Like sometimes if we're lucky, we get lucky enough to accept new worldviews into our head. But I mean, like as many of us know, it's just a really, it can be a really gradual process sometimes. And it can involve a lot of like fighting within oneself and like rationalization and continued exposure to new ideas and change in a lot of ways doesn't happen overnight.
Mm-hmm.
So that's that.
That was a good answer. I felt like I should comment on that. That was an answer. Someone else can ask a question. I'm sorry.
Okay, more GDC questions? Like, no.
Well, I mean, those really awesome answers.
Okay.
I know, it was kind of like a bomb. Like...
Okay, Sarah, you want to go?
I only really have that one question.
Sorry?
I was talking, I had an opportunity to do a mock interview with a woman who is a localization editor and writer for Nintendo, and I had asked her the question, basically she's looking over my portfolio stuff, that whether or not she thinks that, because I'm very obviously very open about, being a feminist and having that critique of gaming, and I asked her, well, do you think that that's being seen as like a positive thing for companies, or is it potentially like a turnoff to companies? And of course, if it is a turnoff to a company, you know, the question, do you really want to work for that company? But since you spent some time working in the industry, I was wondering how you would answer that question, or what do you think of that question?
Oh, I'm pretty sure I've made myself completely unemployable to a whole bunch of companies by being open about what I think and being open about the fact that I won't stand up for bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of, it's really, yeah, like, my personal experiences in, like, some segments of like, the game industry and the corporate world is that, people get uncomfortable when you keep telling them that they're wrong about stuff, especially, like, if they're a lot younger and a lot less experienced.
Mm-hmm. The interview we did with Sherry Grinner-Ray, where she talked about how she stopped getting invited to meetings and eventually switched companies because every single time they brought up these, you know, kind of played out ideas, she'd be like, what about the female gamer? What about the female gamer? What about the female gamer? And eventually they just stopped inviting her to meetings because they were sick of hearing it.
Yeah. The good news is that there are people out there on our side. There are people who are open and willing, and like you kind of just have to find them. You have to join the Illuminati and stuff, and the Illuminati will take care of you. But really, like for me so far, like I haven't gotten rich yet or anything like that. I don't have any kind of stable employment. I went back to grad school. I'm not sure I'd be in grad school if like I were a cis straight white male and everything like kind of went my way. I'd probably like be a senior game designer somewhere or something.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not. I guess that's not how it is. My career's had a lot of twists and turns, and I mean, like, that's also to do with, like, just the general economic situation there. Like, I don't think there's any such thing as stable employment for anybody, like, in their 20s and 30s anymore. It's just, so it's really, like, just about, like, jumping around and, like, finding your allies and, finding people you can trust in networking and going to where like the good people are.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm glad that your life twisted and turned to give us Dominique Pompamousse.
Me too. Yeah. I mean, like, I'm all about, like, creating under limitations, and I've become very good at that because I've had a lot of limitations, I have to say.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's one of the things that we've talked about a lot lately on NYMG is what indie games do, and I think that's why indie games are so awesome, is mm-hmm. because they're not AAA titles. They don't have these multi-gazillion dollar budgets, so mm-hmm. you have people who are working with a very specific set of limitations and have to make something that is thoughtful and innovative and engaging mm-hmm. with these limitations. So it calls for the kind of imagination that AAA titles really don't call for.
Well, we've been doing the Indie Game of the Week for almost 2 years now, right?
Yeah.
And so every 2 weeks we feature a different indie game. And it's completely changed. I originally started doing it. I don't remember what I think it was. Tiny Bang Story was originally the one I fell in love with and pitched the segment. And so, like, I feel like over the last couple years of my gaming life, like, I have experienced and so much more from those games that I've played than anything else. Like, I can't think of any AAA title that's, like, shaped my gamer self as much as the indie games they've been. And some of them are terrible. Like, Science Girls, which I reviewed 2 weeks ago.
There's beauty in the terrible ones too.
Right, like, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. But it was I don't know, it seems like a different world.
So. Yeah.
It's great. And great, like, one thing I want to say about, like, about the AAA thing on, like, it's like our capitalistic society is such that the more money you make, the more money you make, the more you have to make after that too. Mm-hmm. Like if you spend a lot of money on a game, if you have a high budget, then you have to make that much back. It's like really like not a sustainable enterprise. Like everything just gets bigger and bigger and bigger until it collapses, and then the whole cycle starts again. And like in my career, what I really would like to do is find a methodology that's a lot more sustainable, like having kind of a more steady funding stream to make smaller games and not to be pressured to always have to like make a big huge hit every time.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's what happened with your friend at Kingdom, at the place that made Kingdoms of Amalur, right? I mean, they spent so much money on the game, even though it was fairly successful, they still. Mm-hmm.
Big Huge, Kingdoms of Amalur was a great game, but it didn't make a gazillion dollars. I mean, and even same thing happened with Tomb Raider, right? Tomb Raider, made a profit of, what, was it $10 million or $20 million, and it was still declared a failure? That makes absolutely no sense, because, you know, you have these expectations that, you know, it's going to be a Call of Duty that's going to, you know, gross $1 billion in the first 2 weeks. And so it doesn't give, you know, AAA titles that room to be more innovative because it's too risky.
Yeah, that's right? Got to be safe.
Let's just make the next, we'll make the same shooter over and over again, and then we know we'll gross $1 billion, right? Mm-hmm. Because everybody likes these, right? We'll make loot shooters over it, I see.
Everybody does not like Call of Duty.
I'm glad that I brought loot shooters to the table.
Well, I remember you as, like, Wendy Loot Shooter Sierra.
Oh, we're going to make
her. I'm really sorry. This was just came out of my mouth. I'm really sorry.
I mean, but seriously, I mean, you have this thing that this just happens over and over again, is that folks are being required to make more and more money in order to be deemed successful. Yeah, and that's problematic. And that's extremely problematic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Don linked the Feminist Illuminati t-shirt, by the way.
Oh, did he?
On our chat, so. Yeah.
I should have worn my Feminist Illuminati shirt to this chat.
We'll link it in the show notes. Hopefully.
Yeah.
It's pink that and black. Those awesome. Are my colors anyway. So there we go.
Do they have black with pink? I'm just kidding.
You're so black with pink lettering. Maybe the next iteration of shirts will have that color scheme, and then I'll buy one of the black with pink lettering ones.
There you go.
There we go.
I think that's all our questions.
Yep.
Cool. Do you have anything else that you'd like to share with us, Deirdre, that we haven't asked you?
Well,
a big question is, what are you working on now? What can we expect from you?
That's a good question.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh man, I'm working on something like that's pretty out there, and that's saying a lot because I made Dominique Pamplemousse and all. But right now, what I'm working on is an interactive theater performance that's computer assisted about social awkwardness and internet acquaintances and geek culture and gender identity and stuff. So that's been really exciting.
It's my thesis.
And I've been steadily working on that, and will be continuing to work on that for the next year or so. Once it's done, I hope to maybe tour with it and take it places.
We'd love to have you back here.
I'd love to. Yeah, I'd love to come back here. And I'd love to have more folks be able to be a part of this theater production I'm doing. Did I mention it's all audience participation?
Oh gosh,
interesting.
That actually sounds awesome.
And it's super duper queer. The actors who play the characters are constantly shifting. So it's really like it's going to be awesome. I'm really excited about it.
It sounds like a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I cut you off and I asked you a question, and then I immediately asked another question. Is there anything else that you want to share with us that we might have not asked you?
Dominique Pamplemousse is actually on sale at the Humble Store right now.
Oh, wow.
So if you want to buy it and haven't already, then now is as good a time as any.
That's a great time to buy it.
Very much worth it.
It is very much worth it. And see, that you kind of scooped me. I didn't know that, but I'm going to...
You had the Humble sale on our notes.
Yes, I did. I put that there.
I didn't have the Humble sale in our notes because I didn't know about the Humble sale. I was going to say that we're going to run a contest this week, and we're going to give away a copy of Dominique Pamplemousse.
That's good.
Yeah. So
winner.
Free is even better than cheap.
Right.
What's free even better than cheap?
For sure.
Well, I promised to buy it full price.
Yay, thank you.
I think
that was my intention because I didn't know it was on sale. I promised to buy it full price, and I am, and we're gonna give away a copy of Dominique Pamplemousse. So keep your eye out tomorrow when the podcast goes up. There'll be a link to the contest to win a copy of Dominique Pamplemousse because I know that I've talked to a lot of people online who have been excited about the podcast because they were excited about the game. So I think it'll be fun.
Yep. Fantastic.
Woo-hoo. Awesome. Well, that was great. Thanks. And let's run through the our last part so we can wrap up for the night and let Deirdre go about their life, and we can all get back to drinking because that's the important thing in life. I'm kidding. I'm a horrible individual.
Well, I do want to talk a little bit about the Humble Store sale, though.
Yes, please do tell us about our deals for Broadcast Gamers this week.
Well, there's a lot of good deals on the spring sale. I'm super excited about Outlast, because as some of you know,
yes,
this is the only game that's ever scared me.
Oh, mm-hmm. I'm like giving you a virtual high five right now. I saw that. Super sale, like 66% off.
It is on Steam. It's also on the Humble Weekly sale. It's $6.79. Totally worth it.
But so is Final Fantasy VII, which is like my favorite JRPG of all time.
Ugh. Yeah.
Alex. No, Alex Lane. Alex,
we don't need your sassy comments.
Missy.
The DLC just dropped for Outlast, right? That's why it's on sale.
Oh, did it?
Yeah, they have a DLC that, not unlike the upcoming Borderlands stuff, does a prequel sequel.
Neat.
So there's a little bit from before the story of the game. And then it says, I haven't played it yet, it just came out yesterday, and see 12 hours of meetings today.
Right.
That it also sort of concludes the story.
Nice.
Nice.
I played Outlast in the middle of the night at Hevelon, which is our building.
I remember.
And Alex scared the crap out of me because she walked up on me.
I'm sorry, I didn't know that you were sitting in a random room by yourself in the dark. How dare I? I'm bringing some damn pizza.
And Hevelon is very, like, it's very haunted. Appropriate for... horror scene.
It was terrifying.
Well, we should the fact that for years we had that homeless man living
yes.
in the building.
And I kept thinking that. I was like, somebody's going to walk up on me, and then there was Alex.
And then here's scary Alex Lane with some pizza and a Mountain Dew. Ah!
We should make our own game about, like, hauntings in Hevelon or something.
Yeah.
Oh, so you know what the hell we're talking about, Deirdre, and that we're not absolutely crazy. Every year for the Extra Life Marathon, we take over like the lounge and conference room in our building, and we all game for 24 hours. So we get a little bit crazy about 12 hours in.
Absolutely crazy.
They wouldn't turn off the lights, and you have to play horror in the dark.
Oh yeah, you do.
So she went to a different room all by herself in an abandoned part of the building.
It wasn't like
it was a mistake. But anyway, the game is awesome. It's only $6.
Cool.
So, get it.
Yay. Get it. All right.
Awesome. Excuse me. All right. So, that brings us to the end of our 77th episode. Good Lord, it's been 77 episodes. When did that happen? Of the Not Your Mama's Gamer podcast. And we want to thank you, Deirdre, for coming on and talking to us about your awesome game. It's been a blast. We hope that we haven't been too horribly offensive or absolutely crazy. And I promise you, if you listen to other shows, we are not always like this. We had a voicemail. We'll get to it next time, I promise. We had a voicemail from Ben from Argentina who wanted to ask us questions, but we'll get to Ben's voicemail next time. I apologize, Ben, for not getting to your voicemail this week. I'm losing my earpiece. All right, so if you want to get in contact with us, and we will actually get to your email or voicemail, I promise, you can send us email at nymgamer@gmail.com. You can send us voicemail via the SpeakPipe app on either our webpage, where we have our daily pithy blog post, nymgamer.com, or at the top of our Facebook page. If you just look for Not Your Mama's Gamer, you can like us there and get daily updates to what's going on at Not Your Mama's Gamer, as well as kind of hints or heads up when we're doing crazy things like doing game playthroughs in the middle of the afternoon or the middle of the night, depending on what's going on in our own lives. You can also send us regular email at nymgamer.com. And if Facebook or email or voicemail or even the regular interwebs is not your thing, you can always visit our Tumblr at nymgamer.tumblr.com. Very important thing, you can always follow us on Twitter and get the same wonderful updates as well as some other interesting retweets at NYMGamer. I think I've covered all the ways you can get us. I can give you Alex Lane's address if you want to go to her house.
She won't live there for long.
For exactly 2 more weeks.
Yeah.
2 more weeks. And you got to bring a bottle of wine when you come. Bottle of wine and a machete.
You need,
that's okay.
A box.
A box.
Yes, thank you. Very thoughtful of you to remember. Yes. You get more volume. Anyway, I'm sorry.
So, Until next time, stay cool because it's hot. Stay dry because it's raining. And as always, people, game on.
Game on.
Game on.